Hey guys, I want to apologize ahead of time for a little bit of the audio issue. There was a problem with my mic. It can kind of be heard a little bit throughout. It's kind of like a little scratching noise. So it's not as apparent in some areas, but some areas, that is there. So I just wanted to go ahead and apologize for that. So sorry about that, but I hope you guys can still enjoy.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is your girl, Steph I Will. Welcome to another episode of The Lemonade Show. I believe this makes episode 15. My number might be a little off, but I feel like it's 15. I'm not sure. But anyways, it's still more than 10. So I just want to say thank you all for the support and just, sticking through this with me as I am trying to grow. So in this episode, I actually interviewed one of my faves from Twitter and hopefully one of yours too, Sister Geek. Amazing black cosplayer and just a really amazing woman in general. And I always love talking to her about comics and just really just standing over our shared love for Misty Knight. So without further ado, I hope that you enjoy listening to this as much as I enjoy talking to her. And yeah, here is this really great interview with Sister Geek. Please enjoy. All right, what's up, guys? This is Steph I Will from, The Lemonade Show. I am here today with our girl, Sister Geek. That's what you know her as on Twitter. How are you tonight?
I am doing well, my darling. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So, you pretty much are Superwoman, or take that back. You are the living embodiment of Misty Knight, because you did you not just come from Hawaii and like run like around the whole island?
Well,
Yeah.
somewhat, yes. It was just me. It was 200 miles, but I did have a team of 12 people, so we all did that.
And that you all did. And thank you so much for tagging me throughout the process. That was really cool to just live vicariously through you. And you're actually pretty nice when you do that, because you also did that with New York Comic Con. And man, I just have to tell you right now before we get into it that you shut it down.
Oh,
All
thank
three
you.
of your cosplays were amazing. I love the Misty Knight Captain America take. It was just, I was here for it, and it was just right on time, because I believe there was a picture that came out not too long ago of Misty Knight as Captain America.
Right, she's
Right?
going to be on Sam Wilson Captain America. I think issues 15 or 16 is supposed to drop in December. She's going to be on the cover
Yes,
as Misty taking back the shield. Yep.
and I will be buying that, and I will be getting it framed.
Oh, I'm buying about five copies. I'm gonna get them framed, one for the office, one for home. I definitely gonna do that.
And how could we not? All right. So, you're like one of my favorite black cosplayers.
Thank
One, I
you.
bet, yeah. I mean, you really are. In fact, you have me over here contemplating cosplaying my next con that I go to, but I need to sit on a little bit. So, actually, how long have you been cosplaying, and what made you start?
Well, I've been cosplaying like at this level for 4 years, since 2012. I've always loved like Halloween and stuff and dressing up and everything. And I never went to conventions or anything. And then I had a friend back in 2012 who was like, "You really need to go to a con. We really just need to go ahead and do this." And I said, "Well, I wasn't sure." And then, well, so what my friend did was he and his wife, they just went ahead and bought me a ticket for Emerald City Comic Con here in Seattle and said, "Okay, you're going." Well, if you buy me a ticket, I guess I gotta go. And I said, "Well, I'm just gonna go all out." So my first con I actually attended, I decided to cosplay Amazon.
Okay.
She's an amalgam from the Amalgam Universe between DC and Marvel back in the mid 90s, where she's a cross between Storm and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So that was my very first cosplay. So my first con I went to, my very first time cosplaying, I entered the costume contest and came in third place.
So you've been killing it
So,
early.
so I'm like, I kind of set the bar kind of high that if I'm coming out the box and I'm already getting a third place finish, I say, you know what? Now I just need to, I'm hooked. I can't even go to a con without being in some kind of cosplay. So that's what I've been doing for, like, say, for the past 4 years.
Oh, wow. So, well, I told you what my favorite one is, but what is your favorite? Who? What's been your favorite cosplay costume so far that you've done? And can you describe that to us?
Oh gosh, there's so many different ones, but my ultimate, my all-time favorite is Misty. My original Misty Knight cosplay when I had her with the gold arms.
Yeah.
That's the one I think is on my I had on my Twitter handle and stuff, and that's the one that I absolutely love. It's so comfortable, and I get so many. One of the biggest compliments, the greatest compliments I got was at Geek Girl Con, also in Seattle. And I was just coming down the escalator with my Misty cosplay on, and this woman and her young daughter, who may have been about 7 or 8, they were sister and her daughters, they came running over to me, and she just said that when I saw you, I just thought that this is power walking,
Oh,
power
wow.
personified, and I wanted my daughter to meet you. And I took a picture with her daughter, and she was just so excited. I mean, this little chocolate hued face looking up at me, and that moment, it just helped me realize this is why I do it, to let those little faces know that cosplay is for them. Superheroes can look like them. Superheroes are not all white, blonde haired, blue eyed. They come in many different shapes and sizes, and that just solidified for me that I need to keep doing what I'm doing for those little faces.
That is truly amazing, and I probably would have echoed those same sentiments. In fact, I'm going to echo it right now because, as I told you before, like you're one of the reasons why I've actually seriously contemplated possibly cosplaying at the next con or that I go to. So yeah, and like your take on that Misty Knight costume, like I really appreciated that because prior to seeing you, the only ones that I had really seen were the ones with, like the midriff, the belly out, which is cool and fine, because trust me, if I had the six pack abs to do it, I would be out there running out there like that too. But no, seriously, I just really appreciated your take on it because, it was still the embodiment of Misty. It was still the embodiment of power. And, a lot of people, I know for myself personally, I kind of stayed away from cosplaying because I was just like, I don't look anything like these women drawn in the comics. And I mean, who really does? But
Right.
it's just kind of intimidating because you want to represent the characters that you love so well, and you definitely gave Misty that boost in real life. So yeah, I thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And excuse me. And thank you for that compliment, because that's the thing I try to do, is each character that I portray, I have to have a feel for her. Right now, I'm just portraying characters of color, because I just want to bring some of these, and I hate to say that Misty's obscure, because I don't, to my mind, she's been around for 41 years. She's not obscure, but, and then now with Luke Cage dropping, people are starting to hear her name more. But before that, people didn't know who she was. And a lot of the other characters that I do, other than Storm, everyone seems to know Storm, but people don't know these characters. So I take pride in bringing them from the lower echelons and bringing them out so that people can know they do exist and who they are. And then doing them in ways that, because I don't have a body from someone that just walked out of a comic book, but just making the costume so that they look great for a real woman with real curves and real girls and all this stuff. And then so that other people can see that you make the costume fit you. You don't necessarily have to fit the costume.
Ooh, put that on a shirt.
See?
Want that on a coffee mug. I want that on a shirt. Come on now with this word.
But yeah, and I just have to say that I actually have a team of that actually helps me with
Okay.
my cosplays, and my bae, my guy friend. Oh, anyway, he likes to say that I have they're my daughters of the dragon, because they're all women. All of my costume designer is a woman, and my jewelry maker is a woman. My prop master is a woman. My hairstylist, my nail artist. So I have a group of people that we sit together and we go over costume ideas. I come up through with the ideas, and then they figure out ways to bring my ideas to life. But I am sitting there with my costume designer cutting out fabric, working in the sewing machines. I mean, even my Storm cosplay, and here's a little bit of a tidbit of that, because I was a top 10 finalist at a cosplay competition last year wearing my Storm. And the thing is, I sewed in the zipper backwards.
Oh, wow.
And do you know, I'm actually proud of that, because I did it myself. I did it myself. But it makes for interesting moments when you have to use the restroom. But I know I did that.
Hey, I am here for it. You did it, and that is what matters at the end of the day. At least it was just a zipper that was sewn in backwards, so that could be worked around. But I know
I've been able to work around, but that's just something, a tip for cosplayers. Sometimes people, and I've gone through it too, where I think that I have to do every single thing, mm-hmm. part of my costumes and accessories, and there are some group of cosplayers who think that you do, but in reality, you don't. Because if you are able to have other people help you that can bring they may know a little bit more. I mean, it's not that I'm sitting back and saying, hey, you guys go ahead and do this, and I'm just sitting there, being a taskmaster. No, I'm right in the trenches with them. I'm helping them out as much as I can, but I defer to their expertise to help me make these cosplays as beautiful as possible, because I'm the one that has to wear them and carry the accessories and present that character. But if I can get the people who are at the top of their game helping me do that, it makes my cosplays even better.
Okay. No, I mean, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, unfortunately, I've sometimes assumed like, oh, they've done this all themselves, failing to even think about the fact that someone might have a team. And that's really awesome to hear that not only do you have a team, but you're in there in the trenches with them. And, you know, like you say, you defer to them when, you know, you need their level of knowledge. So, no, that's really dope to hear. And it shows.
Well, thank you. And I have another cosplay that I need to, that I've somewhat debuted, but I need to send the pictures out. It's Vivian from Dragon Age Inquisition, a video game.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with that.
That's my most intricate cosplay, because that took us 3 months. So I didn't sleep for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Working on that one. And one of the main things with that one is the staff that Vivian carries. Mm-hmm. And I think probably this weekend or so I'll be able to show the pictures from that. But the staff, I actually took classes because I learned how to carve wood, because I carved the staff out of wood.
Oh, nice.
Found an old rod, an old curtain rod at Goodwill, and then I used a Dremel and watched on YouTube how to use a Dremel. and carved that the designs into it. And then I took classes. I took 3D printing classes. I took laser printing classes at a local makerspace shop, so that I could actually 3D print the top of her staff, which actually has a figure on it. And what I did was 3D printed my face, so that I put my face onto the statue, and then attached it to the staff. And actually learn how to use a table saw so that I could put, run wires through it, because I wanted it to light up. So kind of have to be really creative and willing to learn. And so I just put in the hours going back and forth between the makerspace places, my costume designer. And like I said, I didn't sleep for 3 months. And you'll be able to see the work that I put into this particular cosplay.
I am so hyped to see this. That is amazing. I mean, wow. I am just, wow. Just because I'm picturing you just whittling away, and just like, who would even think to put their face on a statue? That is just, I can't wait. And when are you debuting this cosplay?
Well, actually, I mean, I did debut it at Emerald City.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But the pictures, I'm waiting. This weekend, I should have all the pictures from.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I had a photo shoot and everything. It was earlier this year, but then I got busy doing all my cosplays for New York Comic Con and everything.
Yeah.
So I now have the photos, and I can put those out. I'm going to put those out on Twitter.
Please.
And stuff. Because I even have the, because Vivian wears horns,
mm-hmm.
and some people think they may look like Maleficent horns, but the difference is Maleficent's horns are more of a crooked shape and they're thinner, where Vivian's horns are more, they look true to what an animal would actually have, and they're thicker. So let me just say what I did. I specifically wanted a water buffalo horn.
Yeah.
So I went to a place about an hour and a half away from south of my house, and went through 900 animal horns.
Wow.
to find the perfect one, the perfect water buffalo horn. So therefore I've used it and paper mache'd it so I can make Vivian's horns. And then I wanted to give her a nod to Africa,
yeah.
to make it like it's an African headpiece. So my costume designer, who also makes hats, we worked on it and covered the horns and made it look like an African headdress. So, yeah. It's, I'm going to have to say that one, I love my Misty. I love my other cosplays. But because of the work that we put into Vivian, it's an absolutely stunning piece.
Wow. Are you guys listening to this right now? Like, I hope like your mouth is agape like mine is right now as I'm listening to this, because I mean, seriously, like this is amazing. The dedication and the work. And like, I really need to get out of the bad habit of when I see cosplayers when I'm at a con and being like shy to say like, hey, can I take your picture? Because, you know, obviously you all will want your picture taken, I hope, since you're putting in all this work. And I mean, wow, I hope like you were stopped a lot so that people could take your picture. Were you?
Yeah, I do get stopped, because even in Emerald City, unfortunately, there's not a lot of cosplayers of color, or especially from the African diaspora. So I am still, and I hate to use the word, but I'm still an anomaly or an enigma. So I do get stopped. But when I wore Vivian, it was absolutely amazing. And I'm always so humbled by it, because I just do it because I love the characters. I do it because I want to show characters of color. But to the reactions I got, like one point, I had a doorway that was maybe 50 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. It took me an hour and a half to get to that doorway.
Now, how was that? Now, how was that experience?
Oh, I mean, it was great, because that's the one thing I do. I never, as long as you ask me nicely.
Yeah.
I never say no. If you want, as far as taking a picture, I mean, and I've yet to have anybody come up to me and ask me anything rudely. But when I go to a con, whoever you are, and especially if you have kids and with you, if you want to take a picture with me or of me, I'm always going to say yes. Always. You will never get a no from me. I don't care if I've had times where I'm sitting down, like eating or just taking a break, and people are, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I know you're trying to take a break and stuff, can I take a picture? And I was like, oh, sure. Let me just put, if I have my gloves off or whatever, if I have a part of the costume that's not on, I'm always going to put it back on and say, hey, you know, how do you want me to pose or whatnot? Because that's what I'm there for. You will never get a no out of me.
Yeah. And like I said, like, I need to get out of that bad habit of just be like, I don't know. Like, I feel like being a little bothersome, but clearly, I mean, if someone's put in that much time, you know, you would want somebody to show excitement and, you know, take your picture. And actually, so then that brings me to my next question. Because some of the stuff has to be heavy. I know it can't be comfortable all the time. So like what? So like, how are you, like, how long do you stay at the cons? You know, what are you feeling halfway through the day? You know, are you ready to like rip everything off? Like, is just share a little bit of that with us.
Excuse me. In the believe me, I've learned a lot in the last 4 years. So I do cons. I'm there for 12 to 14 hours, especially on a Saturday when I'm doing the competitions, mm-hmm. because you go through preliminaries, and then if you make it through preliminaries, you go through the final, and I'm going to be there at least 16 hours. So I'm in my cosplays all day. I'm not one who comes to the con maybe wearing one outfit, then goes and puts the cosplay on, then goes back, and then comes back later in the evening. I wear mine from the moment I get into the con to the moment that I leave. I'm in my cosplay.
Okay.
So I've learned, like, one cosplay I did, it was from a British comic book character called Afroella. And the name right there lets you know she's a sister with a giant afro, and she carries a pick with her. And, you know, when you have your stun gun, like, if you have your little utility belt, she has her pick and her utility belt, just letting you know. Because if you mess up her hair while she's out there fighting a cosmic bad guy, she's still got to get her pick. And one of the things she had on was a helmet. And unfortunately, what I did, this was the first time we ever made a helmet, is I put the helmet on and I had no peripheral vision. So then I had on 6-inch heels. So I'm 5'11". So I was 6'5" in this cosplay with no peripheral vision. And so one of my great friends, who's also my prop master, she decided to be my handler, my guide. So I basically had my hand on her at the con, and she guided me through the convention. So I've learned, we're redoing that costume so that I can actually have peripheral vision. Because I think that's important.
He'd vary.
Exactly. So that was important. And with Vivian, the staff that I made, it's 6'4", and it's made out of wood. So it is heavy.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yes. So it is heavy, but it is stunning. It's a stunning staff, and it was well worth it. But you better have some. I got a arm workout. My triceps are phenomenal.
I bet.
And my biceps too, because just carrying that thing. So stuff like that. If I ever really redid things, I would make sure that my some of my accessories are easier to carry around.
Okay.
So that's one of the things, like this time with Misty's shield, my prop master, she made that out of foam.
Okay.
So instead of, because it's even lighter than the shield that you could buy at the store and stuff. So it was really light, and I packed it. This was the first time I actually traveled for a con, when I went to MechaCon in Detroit, and then when I went to New York Comic Con, and having to pack all these cosplays into one suitcase. Yes. One suitcase. Ooh, people, just one.
Okay.
And then
be done.
Sure they fit, because it was foam, so it was easier to carry and to take around with me.
Okay, well, I mean, that was actually great thinking ahead too, because I can only imagine if you had something that was heavier, than probably looking at extra bag fees. They right. like to charge you for, you know, weight and stuff. So no, that was actually okay. Cosplaying and genius. All right.
Yes, you got you. And I have to say, some things too. I know people worry about your feet.
Yeah.
And I do have a pair of boots that I wear. And a lot of my cosplays is just one pair of shoes that I wear. We make boot covers.
Okay.
And one of my signature things that for my costume designer and I, one of the signature things that we've done for my cosplays is, as you can see with my Misty cosplay, the boot is under the pants, so the pants fit so that I like streamlined looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the pants look almost comic bookish, that is all one line, so that my boots are actually underneath my pants.
Yeah, well, and I actually like that, because it looks like you can wear something very comfortable underneath, and you have to worry about staying, you know, I don't know, like super true to the comic. So I like that.
Right, and that's the thing, is to get a pair of really comfortable shoes and learn how to make boot covers for your cosplays, and that way you've already worn the shoes in, and especially if you're going to be cosplaying all day, and if your feet get hurt, if you have a pair of great shoes and you can just make certain boot covers for them, then you're good. And like my Storm cosplay, we actually I have a pair of sneakers that's built into them.
Oh, nice.
Into the bottom of it. So I look like, because it's a one piece, that Storm cosplay, the one where it's from the cover of, I think cover number, issue number 8 from 2014, 2015 Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is actually a one piece jumpsuit where I sewed the zipper in wrong, or the zipper in backwards, but it has tennis shoes built into it. So when I wear it, I actually have sneakers on. So when I was competing in that one, you know, people were standing around for 4 or 5 hours waiting to get on stage, and people are complaining about their feet, and they're wondering why I'm not complaining. I'm like, because I got sneakers on. I don't know what y'all talking about, but I got sneakers on. I'm comfortable. We just made the sneakers look like they had heels. So it was just kind of like optical illusion and stuff to make it look like I'm wearing heels, but I was flat as I wanted to be.
That's so dope and genius. Oh man, that's too funny. They were probably sitting there like, why is she not over here huddled over on the side?
Exactly. I had so many people were looking at me side-eyed and stuff. I had so people were mean mugging me, like, how you do that? I said, look, just because I thought of it first, don't be giving me the evil eye.
Right. Like, y'all slept out, maybe next time you'll think about that. Oh, that's exactly. Too funny.
But those are just little tips for people who are considering coming into the cosplay world, is that thinking outside of the box is the main thing, and make the character your own. That's one of the things that I do, especially like you mentioned with Misty. She looks so many different ways in comics that I just picked and chose the ways that I like, and then what would fit my body type,
right?
What things actually accentuate my body but yet still stay true to the character. And really the main things with Misty is, I mean, her fro,
mm-hmm.
and her bionic arm. I mean, those are the main things that make Misty stand out. What she has on, her clothes, that can change. If you don't like the colors or if you don't like certain aspects of the clothes, then just change it up. And another thing I do is, since I mentioned I have a jewelry designer, if you just didn't know, I have earrings, two set of earrings now that says Misty Knight on them. Just in case you just need a little extra push to know who I was, check out the earrings.
I'm here for that, and I love those earrings. Oh, man, I could just imagine you walking around and someone saying, like, well, who are you? And just tap the left ear, tap the right ear.
I had to do that. I don't think I had to do that anymore, because I think people now are starting to understand who Misty is. But before, when I first cosplayed Misty back in 2014, then, yeah, I had to do that. I had those. I had to, you know, like, turn my head to the side, I'm Misty Knight and stuff, and had to educate people on who she was. I don't think I still may have to do it in some circles, but I think the word's getting out about who she is.
Oh, thank God. And I'll say that. Let me calm down a little bit. I do want to talk about Luke Cage for a moment, but I actually wanted to ask, you know, while you were at New York Comic Con, was there anything that you, you know, visited that you want to share? Same thing with MechaCon. Anything that you want to share from those two?
Well, we'll start first with MechaCon. MechaCon in Detroit was absolutely wonderful. Even though it's a smaller con, which I actually enjoy smaller cons, because some of the larger cons can be a bit overwhelming. I mean, New York Comic Con was just woohoo.
Tell me about it.
But MechaCon was beautiful in the sense there were so many. I have tears in my eyes. There were so many people of color, so many people of the African diaspora from all shapes, sizes. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing seeing the kids. And I was Afro Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like Afro Punk Storm, where I had a steampunk, in a sense, steampunk outfit on, but I had my gigantic Storm Afro.
I did see that. I loved it.
And it was just the looks on people's faces as I came in, and they wanted pictures, and even the kids and stuff. It was just a great experience because I was around my own people, and having a con where I can meet creators of color who are doing amazing things. And then I was on the panel, the Women in Comics panel, Raejeanne Sawyer, who at Lock It Down, she is absolutely amazing. Love her to death. And she invited me to be on this panel where I sat with amazing women who are in the industry, and I represented cosplayers. Or my idea of cosplay. I wasn't representing all cosplayers, but my experience as a cosplayer, that was my speaking point. And it was wonderful sitting on that panel with these wonderful women, hearing about their experiences dealing with either sexual harassment within the comic book industry, dealing with just misogyny, just dealing with just at cons in general and stuff. And that's the perspective I was able to bring, is that you have people who are creating these comic books or creating these just regular books or whatnot. And then you have those who are trying to bring particular characters to life who experience other sides. And I gave them my perspective as a cosplayer bringing these characters to life. And it was so wonderful sitting on that panel with those women.
Oh, I know. And like, if I could have been there, man, I would have loved to have been there. I'm going to have to put MechaCon on my list for next year, because, well, this is a time I still wish I lived in Chicago, because Detroit, I think, is all like 4 hours away, and I'm just like, just my luck. But no, that sounds like it was an amazing time. And yeah, shout out to Raejeanne Sawyer, who finally dropped Ice Witch, which I need to get in her mentions and tell her about, because I just read it today, and yes. All of it.
I picked it up at New York Comic Con, made y'all mad though.
I did. I was very mad. I was very jealous. But no, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And even at New York Comic Con, some of the panels, like especially the Black Panther panel, was absolutely amazing. And I got to meet, and I actually got to hug Christopher Priest, who has one of the best Black Panther runs.
Yes.
And he was there at the panel, on the panel and stuff, along with, Brian Stelfreeze and Ta-Nehisi Coates, and so many other people who have had a role in bringing Black Panther to life. And it was just amazing to meet them, but definitely with Christopher Priest and giving him a hug and just a shout out to everyone. And one of the highlights for me was actually getting the Axel Alonso, who won it, who's the editor-in-chief at Marvel.
Yeah.
He actually stopped me. I was walking, going, getting ready to go to one of the Geeks of Color meetup, and he stopped me and wanted a picture of me, and I was a guy that was walking with me, but I didn't know him. We were walking, and he happened to be in a Luke Cage, the yellow shirt Luke Cage, and so, and I was with my in my Misty cosplay, and so he wanted a picture with us, he wanted a picture with us.
I know. Tweet out. So dope.
And
I saw
was
that.
So stoked because my goal is to my cross fingers and everything is to get on the cosplay cover as Misty Knight. That is my ultimate goal of get on a cosplay cover of one of Marvel's Marvel's comics as Misty Knight.
So. I would scream. You would probably hear me all the way in Washington screaming. So we're going to put that out into the universe that yes, this will come to fruition. It will happen.
So that was a great time. And so all in all, they were wonderful experiences. And even though my Carol, it wasn't Carol Danvers. I was actually Monica Rambeau wearing Carol Danvers uniform.
No, you mean Monica Rambeau's uniform.
Well, right. It was Monica Rambeau's uniform, exactly. Because I even had Monica. I had MR as an emblem on my uniform. You couldn't really see it in any of the pictures or whatnot. But of course, everybody, you know, most times people call me Captain Marvel. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that because you're not specifically saying I'm Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
But when I got the people who were telling me, oh, Brie Larson is going to be so proud of you. I was like, what? Brie? This has nothing to do with Brie. And so...
Oh, God.
And I had some people saying, well, how do you feel about the Carol Danvers movie coming out? I said, I don't feel anything for it because it should be Monica Rambeau's movie.
I hear that. I hear that.
So it was great because I did get a lot of great compliments, and I went to the Marvel fan meetup dressed as in my Monica Rambeau cosplay, and it was wonderful.
Good. You better let them know Monica Rambeau is the only Captain Marvel that we recognize.
Exactly. You know, I had some people going, why didn't you wear the Monica? You know, Monica's white outfit at Spectrum and stuff. I said, because I'm making a stand right here. This is me making a stand. I'm telling y'all right now.
Right. We better go on somewhere. Okay. Well, I'm actually happy that you actually wore that. When I saw that, I was like, I am here for this all day long. So I won't go down that road. I will let Marvel be cute and have their little Carol Danvers movie. And
I'll let them have it, but I'm still going to make my point that Monica Rambeau is my Captain Marvel.
Yes, I hear that. All right, so let's, channeling my inner Joanne the Scammer, that's over, that's canceled. Let's move on to something that really matters, which would be Luke Cage. So yeah. I have to know, what did you think of it?
Oh my gosh, I was in love with it. I loved it. And of course, Mike Coulter, great, whatever, fine, wonderful, to a certain extent. But my whole thing was all about Simone Missick. And yes. Because I wanted to know... After 41 years, finally I'm going to see Misty portrayed on screen. I'll take it as a small screen. So I was on pins and needles. Like, how's she going to portray my girl? How's she going to do it? Simone Missick knocked it out the ballpark.
Yes.
I literally screamed when they mentioned Misty. Because at first, the first few scenes, they were just, you know, she was just there. They didn't really say her name.
Mm-hmm.
But once they actually said... you know, Misty Knight. And then when they said Mercedes Knight, I just lost it. I just threw it up. I was gone.
I did too. Cause I had to rewind that part because I was like, maybe my ears are messed up, but did they just say Mercedes? I was like, you know what? Okay. I see you. Yeah, Chico.
I was there for it. I binged it. I did it. I just went straight through. Even when Netflix shut down, we were too many of us on there to just close Netflix up.
Because, I mean, the reality is that, you know, regardless of how you felt about Luke Cage, it can't be forgotten or just glossed over that this is something that a lot of us, especially a lot of us blurreds, have been waiting for. And especially us women blurreds, because this is the first time that Marvel has actually said, hey, you know what? We didn't forget that you all exist. Welcome to the party. So I was here for it.
And the scenes, and multiple scenes, even back-to-back scenes where you had women, black women, mm-hmm. who were, like, talking to each other, and there was no man involved in it, or they were talking about Luke or whatever, but not in a romantic way. They're talking about, you know, how they could take him out.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then all these scenes about it, and all these strong women, would you ever, regardless of, or irregardless of the side of the law you were on, it was just wonderful to see that. And then dark women. I mean,
yes,
because I am a dark-skinned woman, and being able to see me portrayed on screen, like, even just seeing Alfre Woodard, even though she's quote-unquote a villain, she is still a pretty powerful woman.
Yes.
I mean, she's still charismatic. She still just captivates your, just everything about her just captivates captures your attention. I'm so excited I can't even talk right now. But captures your attention and then just captivates your whole soul. And you're just watching her on screen and you just fall in love with her. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I love her. So, yeah. It was wonderful.
Yes. And I have to bring up the Misty Knight kind of updated take on the classic, her classic costume in episode 13, like the last, 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the show.
Right.
When she steps into the club. That is the moment I needed Life Alert because I was on the ground.
Yes. Yeah. I passed out. I think my heart stopped for maybe about 2.5 seconds. I literally did. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, maybe we're being just over the top, but no, seriously, like, just for the simple fact that her character was so well done, mm-hmm. and to just have that as the icing on the cake just meant everything, yes. because I think I had tweeted out, like, you know, no shade to the, you know, Misty Knight in the comics, but this was one of the most fun iterations of her that I just really, really enjoy. And how could you not enjoy it because there's actually a black woman speaking for this character? So they better give her a show. They better give her a show. Marvel, give Simone Missick a show. I mean, and just Simone Missick herself, like, she just commanded her scenes. Like, she acted her behind off.
Right, and that's the thing. I think you and I, we were kind of talking about that is, and because I'm with you in that this version of Misty, she is everything I've ever wanted Misty to be that she's not in the comics.
Yes.
And that is because it is a black woman's voice who's coming through as Misty. It's not some white man's writer, or a writer who's white, whether male or female, trying to portray what a black woman is thinking and feeling. Mm-hmm. And she's so two-dimensional in the comics,
mm-hmm.
because you never really see her as a well-rounded person. I mean, there are snippets to it, there are inklings to it, but in Luke Cage, what Simone Missick did was she showed Misty as someone who is sometimes broken, someone who is not always strong, someone who has a past, who is trying to deal with that, and then you see her do her change, and she makes 180 degree turn and from the beginning of the from episode 1 to episode 13, and you see this arc and you're able to travel along it with her and understand what's going on and see her as a fully formed and functioning human being. That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really being honestly serious about this. I teared up a little bit. I honestly did because you know, DC included, but this was the first time that I've experience a black woman superheroine in a show or TV where, you know, not only was she relatable, but she was just so well done. Well done. Looking at you, X-Men Storm and DC, not DC Catwoman, because that wasn't Selena Kyle. I'll just leave that be. But yeah, I mean, even, you know, I did watch a few episodes of Arrow where Vixen shows up and, you know, it's cute or whatever, but it's still not, like, I'm sorry. After this, after what we've gotten with Simone Missick's, Misty Knight, it's going to be if you're not writing a black woman or any woman actually to that degree, then I'm not here for it. I can't go back.
Simone has set the bar high. She has set the bar. We're not going back. We're not taking any steps backwards.
No.
You either come up, meet where she is, and exceed it.
Yes.
Or you just get off the playing field.
Right. So this actually kind of makes me excited for, even I was already excited for Black Panther, of course, but this kind of shoots it over the top because it's just like, you know, Ryan Coogler is also directing this. They've already got the cast as chocolate as they want it to be. And I just can't wait to see what they end up doing with it.
I know, right? I'm just so excited. I'm so there for it. And this is so positive because we needed this and we deserve it. Mm-hmm. And for those haters out there, y'all can just bye-bye because we're not even listening to you anymore because we are moving forward. That is what we're doing.
Right. So, and then, I mean, and you could be mad, but you're probably still going to be at the movie theater too. So, okay.
Exactly. Y'all going to be spending your money too. So just come on here and have some of that chicken and peach cobbler with us. It's gone.
Right. Get some seasoning in your life. All right. Well, I don't want to hold you much longer. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've been meaning to ask you for like a long time now, but I finally worked up the courage to say, hey.
Girl, you could have, you know I got you. Whatever you need, I'm there. If you wanted me to do this underwater basket weaving thing with you, whatever, I'm there. So I got you.
I so appreciate it. So can you please tell the folks where they can find you on the interwebs via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you want to share?
Well, right now, the only way you can find me is on Twitter. I am Sista Geek, S-I-S-T-A-H Geek, at S_Hero4, the number 4 higher. You should be able to find me. I'm pretty much the only Sista Geek out there. But yeah, that's it. I'm going to have an Instagram account set up probably by the end of the year to showcase all of my cosplays because I have about 20 of them right now.
Yay! I can't wait. As soon as you do that, let me know because I'm going to tweet the heck out of that. So,
I will, darling. I will. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful for me. I love you to death. I appreciate it. And this is really... just really humbling. I'm blushing over here. Even though I'm dark skinned, you can see me blush. You can probably see this blush right now. Yes, I can. Thank you.
I'm blushing too. I'm blushing too. But thank you again so much for joining me. And ladies and gentlemen, this I hope you've enjoyed. And I hope that you've been inspired by this woman like I have. So we will both catch you later. Peace out.
Peace out.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. That is going to do it for the Lemonade Show in this particular episode, but I will catch you all soon. If you haven't noticed, my mentions are a little bit in shambles because I forgot to like not tweet an opinion and also use the word black and girl/woman in the same tweet. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you know, just simply asking, in one of the latest variant covers for The Invincible Ironheart, which features Riri Williams, you know, is this how people really see 15-year-old black girls? Yeah. So if you haven't already, that's a thing. And oh, please stay tuned. I will be discussing that in further detail, but you know, leaving the negativity, I really do hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I'm going to catch you guys later on the other side of the lemonade stand because I am closing shop. Thank you so much for joining me again. Peace out.